Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He said, for me to repeat the same things I've been saying, it's not a grievous thing for me, it's not a difficult thing for me, it's not a burden for me to do. It is to bring you to the place of safety. Second Peter, chapter 1. I want to read from verse 12. Peter has written about the matter of faith and the people growing in faith and adding other things to their faith, other spiritual assets to their faith. In verse 12, it says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Even though you know them, even though you are walking in them as it were now, I am going to continue to bring it to your remembrance. Because it says here, I think it means, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. He was reminding them of certain truths that they already knew and were even walking in. But he said, I have to keep reminding you. Because you see, human memory can be very short. We have a way of hearing a word from God and, you know, speaking something completely contrary shortly after hearing that word from God. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter, chapter 3 of 2 Peter, I also want to read the first two verses. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. It is, I want to remind you of the words that were spoken to you, not only by the prophets of old, but also by us, the apostles. I want to stir you up in your pure minds by way of remembrance, which is what we want to do today. We want to go over some present truth that some of us may be walking in right now. But it is important that we remind ourselves of these things. Because a lot is happening in our generation, in our time, and we cannot but speak these things. I had something that I wanted to discuss, but this came up as a matter of urgent concern. Maybe the one I have in mind for today will probably take next week's sermon. So turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And I'm going to read from verse 30. To verse 36. John chapter 8, verse 30 to 36. As he, that is, the Lord Jesus, spake these words, many believed on him. Note that. Many believed on him and spake the words. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. May God bless you, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This afternoon I want to speak to us on a theme I have tagged God's Change Agent, or God's Agent of Change. God's Change Agent, or God's Agent of Change. One of the things I want us to understand is that before we got born again, we were rotten, through and through. The Bible basically said that we were rotten people. There was nothing clean about us. If I let me read it, Ephesians chapter 4, I think it is. Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is. That says, in verse 22, it says that he put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. I think one translation says, the old man which is rotten through and through. That's the Living Bible. It says the old man is rotten through and through. There is nothing good about it. So before we were born again, we were rotten through and through. That old nature was a rotten nature. So understand that. And so when God brought us in through salvation, that as we repented of our sins, being convicted by the hearing of His word, and we repented, He made up His mind to bring about change in our lives. Do you understand that? Now, for that change to take place, an agent is required. It is that agent that we want to discuss about today. Because many of us have lost touch with that agent of change. And we are seeking to bring about change in our lives from some other means. Outside of this agent of change that God has, there will be no change in our lives. We will seek after change and we will not find change. Praise the name of the Lord. Not only are we changed, are we talking about change in terms of the old nature and the new man? We're talking about change in every sphere of our lives. Every sphere of our lives. A sick person desires to be well. That's change. There's an agent for that change. Is that agent we want to talk about? There is a situation where a person finds himself in dire straits and he needs badly a miracle to change his situation. That change, that agent that brings about that change, many of us have put it as a problem. We have lost touch with that agent of change. And I'm praying that God will remind us of the agent, of this agent of change. Let's continue in Ephesians chapter 4. Still hold on to John if we're coming down here. In Ephesians chapter 4, after reading verse 22, I'm talking about the system of the rottenness of the old man. In verse 23, he says, we should put up the mind, and verse 23 says, and be renewed. That is, be changed in the spirit of your mind. Let that transformation take place. Let that change take place. In verse 23, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There has to be that change to take place in our lives. Otherwise, we will be born again and yet we will be living according to the old nature. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Until there is a transformed, the transformation in your mind. You will not be able to prove, you will not be able to know, you will not be able to lay hold on what is the will of God, which is good, which is acceptable to God, and which is perfect. So this change is important, it's crucial. Without this change taking place in our lives, nothing is going to happen. Let's go back to John chapter 8 now. As we begin to read, we discover first and foremost that the Lord Jesus spoke to some people and they believed. Better everyone of us here, in fact, all of us here, we say that we are saved. If I were to ask the question, I'm saved. I believe. I believe in the Lord Jesus. Fantastic. But then there was something that the Lord said in verse 31, and I read it again. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He was speaking to people who claimed to believe on him. He was speaking to those of us who say that we are born again. And he begins that statement with an if, a word called if. And we all know that if is a conditional word. It's a word that speaks of a condition. The next thing that follows that if must be talking about a condition somewhere. You find it, a father will say to his child, who is being naughty, if I stand up from here, you will see what will happen. What's he saying there? The condition for you to see what will happen is if I, when as long as I'm sitting down there, you may not see. But if I stand up from there, you will see what will happen to you. So he said, if. And what is this condition? He says, if ye continue in my word, then I give my disciples indeed. I want to try and break this down. Note that number one, he was speaking to who now? Believers, right? People who said they had repented of sin. People who go to church. The fool was speaking to him. He said, if you continue, when you say you are continuing in something, what does it mean? To continue in something. To keep doing that, right? So he said, if you continue my word, what does that mean? If you keep on studying my word, if you keep on doing my word, if you keep on hearing my word, if you keep on living by my word. Is that understood? Because I want us to understand that it is not just doing the word on Sunday and ignoring whatever happens after, or doing it for 1 year and then leaving it off, or doing it for even 20 years and after 20 years you relent. He says, if you continue, it is a statement into perpetuity. You must keep on doing it. You must keep on doing it. So if you continue to keep on hearing my word, if you keep on receiving my word, if you keep on doing my word, if you keep on abiding with my word, if you continue to do it for the 50 years of your Christian life, then, this is the condition for you to be called a disciple. That is the truth. Then I give my disciples indeed, not in word. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, that it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called what? Christians. Another word for Christians, the Greek word is Christianos, that is Christ-like or like Christ. The disciples had been so taught by the word of God over a span of 1 full year. Teachers were poured into that place and they were teaching the word, they were teaching these people. These people sat under teachers for 1 full year. And men looked at these men. These were people from of different backgrounds, people from who had different old natures. But they saw them and said, these people are like Christ. And so they called them Christians. The Lord Jesus never used the term Christian. What he used was what? Disciple. And so he says there that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple. What will make you a disciple of the Lord Jesus is what? your continuing in the word. Not just the fact that you are being taught the word, but the fact that you are now putting to practice what you have been taught. And you keep doing it on and on. That is what makes you a disciple, which we now call Christian. But today, we have forms that we fill for civil government. And they ask, what is your religion? Or what is your persuasion? Or what is your belief? And one of the ways to check mark, one of the things that we check is what? Christianity. Or Christian. You say, yes, we mark it. That does not make you a Christian. As far as the Lord Jesus is concerned, a Christian is somebody that keeps on doing his word. A Christian is somebody that keeps on obeying his word. Now, let's put a finger here and let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm reminding us, and we're going to come to some very, very deep things later. We are still trying to introduce a subject here. The subject of the agent of change. Being the word of God. But there's something deeper than the word of God being the agent of change. John chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What did the word do for this disciples? It cleansed them. Do you understand? They had the filthiness of sin. Now, he says, you are clean because of this word. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You must be dwelling in me, and I dwelling in you. Otherwise, you are not going to be fruitful. We are not going to see the fruit of the Spirit manifest. I am the vine, verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Of anything, of what eternity, of eternal value. We will have nothing to present in heaven. We will not be what, say, oh, this person did this. Verse 6, if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Here he is speaking of hell. If a man refuses to abide in Christ, this profession of people who are believers, but who are not dwelling in him, and who are not allowing his word to dwell in them, he says you will wither. You will just discover that you are just coasting, you are just like a living corpse. Nothing is happening. There is no life in you. The Bible tells us that in him that is in Lord Jesus Christ is life. And that life is the life of men. And that life shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it or overcome it. If we find ourselves in a situation where Satan is overcoming us, it means that that life is not there. If that life is not there, it means that the world is not there. The world is not there, it means that Christ is not there. In verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me, notice in another if here. There are several things in this place. But in verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me, number one, and my word abide in you, number two, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let's pause. Because I go to verse 8. Let's pause here. I need to explain this. If you abide in Christ, and His word abides in you, and He says you will ask what you will, and you will give it, it will be done unto you, I want to ask one question. Is it possible for you to be in Christ and His word to be in you, and for you to ask amiss? No. That is why He's saying it will be front of you. It's not for you to go and quote it and go and spend 1 5 minutes in the word and say, the word is, if I abide in you, if you abide in me, and I won't abide in you, cannot can match it. No. He's speaking of something that we are talking about a relationship, an ongoing relationship. The promise of asking and receiving is tied to this matter of you abiding in Him and His Word abiding in you. When you see people who live together, they know certain things about themselves. Is that also? They know certain things about how, in fact, they hear the voice of that person somewhere, they say, this person's voice. Because of the familiarity, they stay together like that. Now, verse 8 is where we're going. And he said, hearing. We can look at hearing. Is my Father glorified? That he bear much. What is bringing this fruit to be born? The abiding in him and his word abiding in us. Right? Here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my. Another thing I will find here about disciples, if they continue in his word, is that what? They will bear much. Not just, they will bear much. They will be productive. They will be fruitful. So we need to begin to question. You see, when you read the scriptures, when you encounter passages of God, you should be questioning yourself. The word of God is effective in everybody's life, except those who refuse access. Do you understand? I think we've shared this before, that when the word of God is spoken, you must first of all hear it, secondly receive it, believe it, and then act upon it. Otherwise, it becomes, it is not effective in your life. So it is not enough to hear. That's what James says in James 1. He says it's not about hearing, just hearing. But you must also be a doer, otherwise you are just deceiving. And I'm saying this because I find many people go to church. Many people have been Christians for years. Some have even been pastors. And then you hear certain things about them, and you begin to wonder, what happened? What went wrong? There's one that is flying all over the place, of a university professor, and here is a pastor, with a recording of wanting to give mass success. Flying all over the place. And they take the pastor, and you sit down, and you grieve, and say, what is going on? Is it that we are not holding on to the word of God? At what point did this man get himself to the place where he's taking a phone call to a student and negotiating for sex to give her marks? At what point did a pastor get himself to the place where he is cheating somebody? What happened to that brother who we worship together, who we were in the house of God together, we prayed together, we heard the word of God the same day? But he went out and joined a gang of thieves and went to commit armed robbery with people. What happened to that brother? What happened to that sister? She was in church for so long. What took place? That men had leave a church meeting and go and get married to a married man. What happened? If you continue by words, then are you my disciples? Look at verse 8. There's an and. In addition to being a disciple, continuing in the word of God also brings another blessing. What does it say there? And ye shall know. Please, I want us to understand certain things here. The word know there is the same word as when a man and a woman have sexual intercourse. So we are talking of intimate knowledge, not just head knowledge now. So he's saying that if you continue in my word, you continue to read the Bible, you continue to hear the word of God, you continue to respond to it positively, you continue to act upon the word of God, you continue to live by the word of God. Number one, you're my disciples. Number two, you shall become intimate with the truth. We're going somewhere with all of this argument. You shall become one with the truth. Right? This is what the word does when you continue with it. You become one with the truth. You will recognize the truth. You will be intimate with the truth. Nobody will be able to deceive you. You will know truth for what truth is. Do you understand? When there is deception, you will know this is deception. And a third blessing, besides being a disciple, and besides knowing the truth, it says that truth that you now know, what will it do? He said, it shall make you. You are not going to be free on your own. The truth will make you. Let me give an illustration. If a very wealthy man with servants gets married, do you ask wife as their new madam? I'm asking a question. Do you expect the wife of this rich man with servants? Do you expect the servants to respond to his wife as their new madam? Or will just be going to their father and will abandon the madam? What do you expect? They will respond to the wife as their madam, right? Why do they respond to the madam as their to the wife as their madam? Because the man married. If the man has not married her on the main road, they will never respond to her. So because you are married to Christ, because you are married to the word, you are continuing the word, you are married to truth. Do you understand? Truth has made you to be free. Now, the question is, free from what? So let's continue. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made?" They were not in bondage to any human being. How can we say that we will be made? Abraham's seed, they are free. They are free men. Now, let's stop discounting the fact that these men were already alive. Because we know that they were under Roman domination. Not only were they under Roman domination, Herod was ruling over them. And Herod was not a Jew but an Edomite. So they were not really free. Do you understand? They were under domination. But the Lord was referring to something deeper in Matthew 24. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of what? Sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever." So, he said to us that one of the major blessings of continuing in the word of God is that you will be made free from sin. Do you understand that? Sin will not have dominion over you. So we need to be bothered when sin is having dominion over us. Not only sin, but anything that holds us captive. Some people are captive to fear. Some people are captive to sickness. Some people are captive to any other, many things that people are captive to. The moment you are in captivity to something, you need to find out what is, because what we are trying to do here is to see if change has taken place in your life. If it has not taken place, then what was the agent that you trusted for your change to take place? Because the change, the agent of change of God is His word. His word is also called truth. And so it says that the word will deliver you from sin. So that old man that we read of in Ephesians chapter 4, that is running through and through, that must be done away with, can only be done away with through the agency of what now? The word. Do you understand that? We are not talking about a sitting down in church on Sunday words. No. We're talking of a perpetual study of the Word of God, going on and on with the Word of God. There is more to the Word than just sitting down to hear, or than just reading. Let me show you something. We're coming back to John 3. In Psalm 1, the first Psalm, Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Look at verse 2. But his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So even if you are not reading it, are you meditating on it? Do you understand that? When we say to continue in the Word of God, we are also including the meditation on the Word of God that does not allow a man to become subject to ungodly counsel, to find him in the pathway with sinners, or sitting down with scholars. Many people have lost the taste, the desire, the delight for the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 2 of Psalm 1 that if we are to escape ungodly counsel, the law of sinners and scholars, if we are to overcome them, the Word of God must be a delight. If the Word of God is not a delight to you, you will be misled by this people. Because they will drive you astray, they will take you astray, they will lead you astray, they will direct your faith elsewhere. And if you do not desire the Word of God, I don't think you can meditate on it. And say day and night. In our own time, I will say morning, afternoon, evening, and night time. And throughout the day, you are meditating on the Word. What does it mean to meditate? I like the illustration that one pastor used. I believe he got it from the scriptures. He said in Hebrew language, the word meditate means to mutter to oneself, to say, to repeat something to oneself. That's what meditation is about. So it goes beyond just thinking about it, which is good. But you are reciting it. I shall not live, but die. And I shall not die, but live and declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Things are happening to you, and what is he doing there? He is remembering the Word of God, and he is reciting it. He is watching it to him. But God has said, I will not die. But God has told me that I am going to live in the land of the living. He has told me, he has assured me that I will declare his testimony amongst the living. Do you understand that? And as he says that, what is happening to him now? Faith is building up in him. He is being assured of the Word of God. Now imagine somebody going through such a thing who has got himself in a place where he has thrown aside the Word of God. What does he have to learn? What does he have to meditate on? What does he have to bring him out of bondage? No. He is stuck. And this is what the Lord is saying here in verse 36. The Lord said, that's back to John chapter 8. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, he shall be free indeed. What is he saying here? He said it is not a matter of hands, laying on of hands, that brings you. Deliverance is a matter of the Word of God. It's a matter of the Son of God. So let me make a firm declaration now. That whilst for you and I, in the natural, we say the Word of God is the agent of God for changing our lives. In reality and in the spiritual, that word is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the agent of change for you and I is who now? The Lord Jesus Christ. But we find him how? In the Word. So a man that is not studying the Word of God will not find Jesus. Will not walk with Jesus. Cannot be walk with Jesus. A man who does read the Bible and does not intend to do anything about what he has read is only deceiving himself. Because he's not going to find the Lord. He's not going to find that agency that brings about change. Is that understood? Let me go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, how many things? All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In Him was life. Let's go to verse 11 through to 14. He came unto His own. This word came unto His own. And His own did what? Received Him. They didn't receive Him. But as many as received Him, who were not of His own, as many as received Him, to them gave Him what? Or authority. To become. Not to be called, but to become. They became something. Do you know that? They changed from enemies of God to sons of God. He made them to become those who received Him. To them that believed on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. So when He says that you shall know the truth, and He shall make you free. Who is making you free now? It's Jesus. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you know of any demon that can resist the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says, at the mention of His name, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess, whether in heaven, on the earth, or underneath the earth. All power belongs to Him. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, where the reference to this is given, something happened. Bible says in the beginning, I'm reading Genesis chapter 1, and from verse 1 to verse 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. When God wants to bring about change, in the present life. Let's say you have repented, right? You have heard the word of God. And you are convinced and convicted that you are a sinner. Then you come to the Lord and say, I'm a sinner. God has not put it in His will, it's His will, that anybody who repents and confesses of his sin is a child of God, right? So God the Father has made that is His will, is His commandment, is there. The moment you do that, the Word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, will now declare you to be a child of God, right? Upon declaring you to be a child of God, the Spirit of God will make you a child of God. That is what happened in Genesis chapter 1. The Father wanted light. And the Son declared, let there be light. And the Spirit of God made light to happen. I'm trying to work out a mechanism here. The agency of change is not just the written word of God, it's just written here. But it is the spoken word of God. More than the written and spoken word of God, it is the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if for any reason you and I are not experiencing change, then we need to be bothered about our relationship with the Lord. The Lord also said, I think it's in John chapter 5, I believe it, verse 39 or so. He said, you search the scriptures because you believe that in them you will find eternal life. But this scripture, what do they do? They speak about me. So if you are looking at the Bible, you come to church. You hear the word of God. You return home. And you do contrary to the word of God. There are several examples I can start. People who are sleeping, who are lying, wives who are insulting their husbands, husbands who are beating their wives, and all manner of things. We need to ask the question, what is your relationship with the world? What is the import of your coming to church if you are not being changed? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, is what? A new creation. All things are part of the new. How many things? All things have become new. When a man is sick, the word of God will declare the will of God. You are healed in Jesus' name. The Spirit of God begins to make the healing to take place. The same way life came without fighting is the same way that healing will come without struggles. But a lot of times we must understand one thing, that God seeks to build us up by the things that we suffer. The Bible says from the Lord Jesus Christ that though he were a son, yet what did he do? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Though we are sons of God, yet there are things that we must learn by the things that we go through. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, for the Bible says, we can also rejoice in tribulation. Because tribulation worketh what? Patience. In other words, God is working patience in us by the things that we are facing. But we are doing patience. So instead of waiting with God and going through that process with God, we jump out and go and do something else. And you better believe, 15 years after you are coming back to that spot, then you jump out 15 years later. Because of those 15 years, you just went through and said, nothing happened. Why? You were not married to the world. You were not a disciple. Do you understand that? These people that the Lord just spoke to in John chapter 8, they believed that he is the Messiah. They believed on him to be the Messiah. But they did not abide in his word. They refused to accept it. They refused to welcome his word. And so if you read the rest, these same people who said they believed on him as Messiah began to quarrel with him. Only one time they said, the devil is in you. This is a full set of things. Many of us are like that. There is nothing that will stop some people from going to the home of the harvest. They will go to church on Sunday and still visit the harvest home that Sunday afternoon. Why? Because they and the world have not become you. It is not enough to read the Bible. It is not enough to sit down through the sermon and hear the sermon. It does not profit you if you don't act on it, if you don't do what God says you should do. Many people will tell you, oh, God told me this, but then you know that I've struggled between it. And I'm wondering, what's God struggling with? Then I realized from what the Lord was saying here to me that he did not continue in my. Do you understand that? They did not continue. They followed the word to a point, and then when they saw that the thing was not happening, they just got tired and went to do something else. They were not the disciples. Do you recall that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, the Lord Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord. Eh? I mean, is that not what he said? Matthew chapter 7 said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven. He said, many will come on that day. I said, but we preach in your name that by authority. We preach, we prophesy, we heal, we walk miracles, we cast out demons in your name by your authority. He said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that walk. Amen. So there are many people in church who are feeling quasi scriptures just to get out of the tight spot, that is all. The quoting of scripture is not to be closely linked or related to God, but so that you can get out of the tight spot. The scripture for them is an opportunity to get out, whereas God's goal is to change them into the image of the Son. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'll read 28 and 29. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together. How many things?
All things.
Good, bad, troubles, trials, tribulations, good times, prosperity, whatever. All those things must mix together. If your understanding of life is that everything must be for good, for everything must be fantastic, you're not a Christian. You don't understand life at all. Life has its own seasons. Even in life itself, we have dry season, we have rainy season. Overseas, they have snow. They have summer, they have winter. They have all those seasons. But you want a season where everything is just one season. God didn't create that. All things work together for good to them that do what? That love God. Who is it that loves God? The one that follows His commandment. The one that keeps His commandment. The one that obeys His word. So, for whom do all things work together for good? For the people who are continuing in the word of God. You understand that? It says, to them who are being called according to His purpose. How does God call us? By His word. If we don't heed His word and the purpose thereof or therein, brother, this scripture does not apply to us. So we must begin to understand scriptures in its applicability to those who are in a right relationship with the word of God, the agency of change. The point is, you cannot come and benefit from the kingdom in a state of filth. The first thing that God does is to remove filth. The second thing is that to change the nature. If you were to take a thief from the dump, bring him home, and wash that thief, what is going to happen afterwards? It's going back to the filth. Because the nature of filth is in the thief. Do you understand? So it is not enough to be washed. What God wants to do is to remove the nature of filth, the nature to sin from you, and put in there the nature of godliness, the nature that loves the commandments of God. Before you were born again, the most difficult thing for you, and you enjoy it, was to the most difficult thing for you was to obey God. That is, you love to disobey God. You may have said that, but you loved it. Now you are born again. The field that you were rolled in because of your love for disobedience of God has not been washed away. But the nature that disobeyed God is still in you. Do you understand? So God now wants to remove that nature. And He needs you to be perpetually in the world. Perpetually in the world. You cannot be changed for 5 years. Leave the world for 1 month. You swore you are back to where you started. Many of us would have lived the world for 1 day, you are back to where you started. That's the truth of the matter. So there is something that God is saying to us when He says, if ye continue in my words, if you continue to do my word, and my word is not just written or spoken, my word is me. If you continue to walk with me, if you continue to follow me, if you continue to abide in me, and I continue to abide in you,
Sometimes when we want to do wickedness, what do? We say, Jesus, please leave.
I want to do something wicked.
Do you understand? What has happened at that point is that you have terminated the arrival. Do you understand? You have truncated that arrival. So that they can go and see what you say. And somehow, because of the wickedness that they are, they believe, they run on, that all I need to do is apologize and God will forgive me. They are not read the Bible very well. That the sin that God forgives is the sin that is not deliberate. That is done unknowingly. The sin that they say is the sin that is not to be forgiven is a deliberate sin. That's what I call the sin against the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit was warning you, told you all the scriptures that this thing is wrong. You went ahead and did it. You will discover. I pray that I'm with somebody here. That you will not be able to do this. The Bible talks about Esau looking for a friend that's what? With tears and unknown. There was no place. Because it was a willful act to send his backwards. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are being called according to his purpose. These are people who are walking with God and his word. When the storms come, they will stand because of what the Lord just said that much in Matthew chapter 7. He said, I will liken the man who hears my word and does it to a wise master builder. The wind came, the storm came. But because his house was founded on his firm foundation, it stood firm. And the man who hears my word and does not do it, I will liken to a foolish builder who built his house upon sand. The same condition of wind, storm came. He said, that house fell. As great was what? The fall. Because it was not rooted in Christ. Those who are being called according to his purpose are those who have found their place according to the will of God. The will of God reveals the mind of God. The word of God declares that will. The Spirit of God brings that will into effect in our lives. So the moment God kind of said, this fellow is mine. This one immediately declared us righteous, and the Spirit of God began to make us righteous. If you go to, still keep a finger on Romans chapter 8, we're coming back here. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and strength of his love of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace, God's life. The sanctification of the Spirit is to bring us to what? Obedience. Do you understand that? We never had the nature of obedience in us. It is the most difficult thing for us to do when we are not yet believers was to obey God. That's why we sin. So now that we have been born again, now that we have been washed in the blood of Jesus, if the nature of the being is still in you, what will happen? You are going back to your soul. And God did not save your soul for you to go back to him. So what did he do? He said, bring him. Let's now change his heart. How do we change his heart? There's only one agency that God has that changes the heart. It is written in word. And that written word is not just something that is written by heart. The Bible talks about the epistle that is engraved in the hearts of men. The Bible says that we should receive the engrafted word of God with the meekness of heart, which is able to save us. Let's get to verse 29, and then we can conclude. It says, for whom he did foreknow, these are the people that God has chosen according to his will, that anybody, whosoever, called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, so for whom is this? For such people, he has already put a word, he's not going to change it, he has already written it down there. He also did predestinate. He also predetermined it. He also decided that such people would be conformed to the image of his son. Do you understand that? That his son will be firstborn. And all the others will be his brothers. So they will look at the image of Christ, the likeness of Christ, the behavior of Christ, the nature of Christ, and change that person to that nature. The agency for changing that person to the nature of Christ is the Word of God. The Word of God is not just a merely written thing in the Bible. Do you understand that? It is the person of Christ. It is the living Word. Remember that in Hebrews chapter 4, that the Word of God is sharper, is living. Is living. Is quick, is living. And effective or active. Sharper than any double edged sword, cutting asunder bone and marrow, entering into places, bringing out the intent of our hearts, exposing it to us. We can follow with the Word of God. We can never know that's what I'm thinking, but that's what I'm thinking. All men are exposed to the Word of God. As we make our interaction with Christ a daily affair, not just every day, every morning, every night. I mean, a continual thing where we are listening to Him. I may not be carrying the Bible, physical, everything. But what is contained in Him? As God is saying it to me, what am I doing? I'm muttering it. I'm reciting it. That I'm meditating on it. Lord, what are you saying to me? I'm praying about it. I'm having fellowship with you. That is how we have fellowship. It's not a structure, necessarily a structure thing that I must sit down at the table and be reading. That is true. But when you are walking day by day, when you are talking with somebody, and the Lord wants to interrupt you, say, don't say a word to this person. Do you even do? Only a heart that is open to the Lord will give you that space. So sorry, I won't say anything. Then when your anger has overshadowed your ability to respond, then we need to go back to John chapter 8 and ask, are you continuing in the Word? And if you are continuing in the Word, are you now one with the truth? And if you are one with the truth, have you been made? Because many of the atrocities that we see today is the result of people who have not been born from the knowledge, the saving knowledge of truth. That's why they can be mean. That's why they can be selfish. That's why they can be thinking only for themselves. And God is saying to us, the time has come for you to recognize that this is not religion. This is not going to a meeting just so that you can be part of the meeting. This is not about going to a place where they are dancing and singing. This is about a personal relationship between Him and you through the Word. It is that Word, as you are reading the Word, that your change begins to take place. Best solution I can think of right now is to put a glass of coffee, under a tap and leave it running. If you leave that tap running long enough, after a while, what will happen? The color will go out. But the smell will still be there. If you keep leaving it long enough, what will happen after a while? No more smell of coffee. That is what God is saying. You are like a cup of black coffee. Nothing good, running through and through. I must put it under the tap continually. If you give a glass of that kind of coffee, with the smell, even though coffee is not there, the smell is still there, and the man gets coffee, you can throw up. That is how it is with God. Some of us have the fragrance of sin. So it makes God to push us away. And God wants the fragrance to change to the fragrance of Christ. The only way that can happen is to keep you perpetually under the tap the word of God. Under the cap of fellowship with Christ. Through the agency of the word, the life of Christ enters it. In John chapter 15 that we read, where he said, I am the vine, my father is the husband, and you are the branches. What he was saying, what he said is that a branch receives sap from the vine. Do you understand? The branch does not have the ability to receive sap from the soul. It must come through the vine. And he is the vine. So the life of God comes into us through the word of God, through Christ. Do you understand that? As we fellowship with him by the agency of his word, his life comes into us. I cannot explain the mechanisms of it, but that's what happens. After a while, you will find, look, you need to have stopped reading the Bible for some time and come back. The initial comeback is a struggle. You will be struggling. You will not be able to read the Bible. You will be wondering. Meanwhile, you know what the problem is, but then you will lie to yourself. And you tell yourself, oh, but this is difficult. Oh, is that? The word has seemed to be a delight, not a book. So you must now make yourself to come back to the word. One of the things that we do as such, and it's not for us. We cut ourselves from every desire of the flesh. That the desire of Christ might grow in us. And then we go back to the world. And begin to read. We may not read the chapters numbers that we've read before. We may just read a few verses. Then we pray, oh Lord, change me. Oh Lord. After a while, you will discover that you will read one chapter, two chapters, three chapters, four chapters. In the course of reading, people will be saying, oh, don't disturb me, I'm not ready. I don't read anything. Why? What has happened? Suddenly the word has become what? A delight. And then you begin to see some things, and it must spur in you prayer. If you are reading the Bible, and it does not spur you to pray, you need to check what you are reading. You are not reading the Bible yet. Because there is no way you will read the Word of God that it will not spur prayer in you. At all times, you just begin to pray. The joy is returning to you. And as you keep doing that, you will suddenly discover that the coffee is being taken out of you. Because you see, when the tap was shut, the smell of coffee not only stayed, more coffee came back. More filth and dirt came in. So it must not be pushed out again. It's a learning process. That's why it's better for you not to break. Than for you to break. Because to get back is also strong. You need to do so many things as it were to get back. But if a man will honest with himself and goes to God and says, God, I go to the church. I need to get back. I need to return to you. I need to return to your word. I just need to come. And he says, if it means not to go through, you will see God return to you. The Bible says, the Lord is with you while you are with you. The day you see a problem, that's the day you see God. If, yes, not those persons who say, but those persons who pray. Many a times, we have heard the word of God here, and even outside of here, telling us to do certain things, if you do know. But we still return with sounds on our faces. Oh, the word of God, I don't think there's anointing here. No problem, go anywhere you want to go. You see that place where it is started from? You have to come out of that. That's how the word of God works. It's not a man. It's God. That thing that you are running away from, you will come back. And then you will find God. And I pray that what you find him this time in the world. That's why I ask. It is your word that sets me free. It is your word that sets me free. It is your word, the truth in your word. It is your word that sets me free. It is your word, the truth in your word. It is your word that sets me free.
your word.
It is your word that sets me free. It is your word that truth in your word. It is your word that sets me free. It is your word.
Thank you.
Thank you.